From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. President Jokowi praises the performance of Indonesian state-owned enterprises in the Philippines. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs ensures that no Indonesian citizens become victims during the violence in Ecuador. UK Prime Minister Sunak says strikes against Houthis necessary and proportionate. And now the news in details. The first news. On the last day of his visit to the Philippines on Thursday, President Joko Widodo received two courtesy visits, namely the Philippine Minister of Transportation, Jaime Bautista, and the Philippine Minister of Defense, Gilberto Eduardo Gerardo C. Tudor Jr. After the meeting, before leaving for Vietnam, President Joko Widodo delivered his statement.
Pagi hari tadi, saya bertemu dengan Menteri Transportasi Filipina.
This Thursday morning, I met with the Philippine Minister of Transportation. We should be grateful because our state-owned enterprises, namely PT Pepe and PT Adikarya, succeeded in obtaining two cooperation contracts through auction worth 8.5 trillion rupiah. Apart from that, I also met with the Philippine Minister of Defense. He expressed his trust and satisfaction with the products of the Indonesian defense industry, such as light airships made by PT DI and warships made by PT PAL. This means that I am confident that Indonesian state-owned enterprises in both the works and defense sectors, if managed well, with management transparency, will be able to compete in the international arena.
Jika dikelola dengan manajemen transparan, akan mampu bersaing di kancah internasional.
President Joko Widodo hopes that the performance of the state-owned enterprises can continue to be developed not only in the Philippines, but also in other countries. On the same day, President Joko Widodo continued his trip to Vietnam, accompanied by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Erick Thohir. The second news. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin has expressed deep concerns about the prevailing situation in Gaza, Palestine, on account of Israeli aggression. Amin emphasized while receiving a courtesy visit from Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, Walid bin Abdul Karim Al-Khiraji, at the Vice Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Thursday, that Indonesia will continue to fight for Palestine. He also conveyed three important measures that need to be taken in Gaza. During the meeting, he also lauded Saudi Arabia as a member of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which has made several efforts to resolve the Israel-Palestine conflict, including gathering support from permanent member countries of the United Nations Security Council, the United States, the United Kingdom, China, France, and the Russian Federation. Deputy Minister El Khareji said that his country has made several efforts, ranging from political, economic, and others, to broker a permanent ceasefire in Gaza. The third news. The Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs ensures that no Indonesian citizens became victims during the violence in Ecuador. This was conveyed by the Director of Protection for Indonesian Citizens and Indonesian Legal Entities, Minister of Foreign Affairs Judah Nugraha, via short message quoted by Antara News Agency on Friday. According to records of the Indonesian Embassy in Quito, currently, the total number of Indonesian citizens in Ecuador is 48 people. Some of them are Indonesian citizens who work as priests or missionaries spread across remote areas outside Guayaquil area, while the others are staff and family of the Indonesian embassy who resides in the capital city of Quito. One female Indonesian citizen is recorded as residing in the Guayaquil region, but currently she is observed to be outside the Ecuadorian region. The Ecuadorian government has declared a state of emergency on January 8, 2024, which was triggered by riots in the Guayaquil region by armed gangs. The fourth news. The Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Port Moresby has coordinated with the government and police of Papua New Guinea to increase protection and security for Indonesian citizens. Following by the riots in that country since Wednesday, to date, no Indonesian citizens have become victims of the riots. This was said by the Director of Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Indonesian Legal Entities of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Judah Nugraha, via short message quoted by Antara News Agency on Friday. The number of Indonesian citizens in Papua New Guinea recorded at the Indonesian embassy is 1,317 people. Riots involving looting and burning of shops have occurred since January 10, 2024, in Port Moresby and then spread to several other cities. Papua New Guinea Prime Minister James Marape has declared a 14-day state of emergency for the Port Moresby area. The fifth news. Indonesia's Coordinating Maritime Affairs and Investment Ministry invited 32 heads of investment and targeted the attendance of 30,000 participants in the 10th World Water Forum in Nusa Dua, Bali on May 18th until 24th of 2024. WWF is an international forum whose approach is comprehensive, not only in terms of thematic discussion, but also in the regional and political aspects. To support the implementation of the 10th WWF, President Jokowi has issued Presidential Decree No. 1 of 2023. Until now, preparations were made in parallel by conducting a coordination meeting to check their readiness. According to Hendiarti, the issues of water is important as it is related to food security. Therefore, the 10th WWF, with the main theme of water-shared prosperity, became a momentum for Indonesia to take real action for the international community. The sixth news. U.S. and British airstrikes carried out early Friday against Houthi targets in Yemen over recent attacks on Red Sea shipping were necessary and proportionate. This was said by the UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak in a statement on Friday. Sunak's statement followed comments by US President Joe Biden about the strikes carried out against the Houthis who controlled wide areas of Yemen. Biden described the joint strikes as defensive and warned of further measures if the Iran-backed rebels kept attacking Red Sea shipping. He said Australia, Bahrain, Canada, and the Netherlands had also provided non-operational support. The Houthis have stepped up attacks in recent weeks on shipping in the Red Sea, a vital waterway throughout which 12% of world trade flows. Sunak described the Houthis' action as irresponsible and disestablishing, and said that their attacks were driving up commodity prices. And the final news. The IMF's executive board approved an immediate disbursement of around $700 million for Pakistan on Thursdays as part of a program to support the cash-strapped South Asian country through an economic crisis. The funds were unlocked after the International Monetary Fund Board approved the first review of a 9-month, $3 billion loan agreement reached in July 2023 to help Pakistan weather a balance of payments crisis and service crippling external debt. IMF Deputy Managing Director Antoinette Sayeh said, according to the statement, that Pakistan's advancement under the program has supported significant progress in stabilizing the economy following significant shocks. The IMF said that macroeconomic conditions in Pakistan had generally improved since the program was implemented and predicted economic growth of 2% this year. And that was the news.
Commentary is on Taiwan's election 2024. Tomorrow, January the 13th, Taiwan will elect a new president. The candidates competing are Lai Chung-te from the Democratic Progressive Party, DPP, Ho Yu-yi from the Kuomintang Party, KMT, Ko Wen-che from the Taiwan People's Party, TPP. Tens of thousands of people gathered for a mass Super Sunday rally held by the three presidential candidates on the final weekend before the January 13th election. In these campaign activities, the presidential candidates, as quoted from VOA Indonesia on January the 10th, offered visions and plans for different approaches in addressing Taiwan's relations with China in the future. Lai Ching-te, Vice President of Taiwan from the currently most favored Taiwan Progressive Democratic Party, DPP, called this election a choice between democracy and autocracy and asked all people to defend democracy together. Lai Ching-te said he would maintain the status quo, namely continuing to push for Taiwanese independence. He remains open to China under the prerequisite of equality and dignity. Meanwhile, opposition presidential candidate Wu Yuyi from the Kuomintang Party KMT wants dialogue with China to reduce tensions between the two countries. Wu argued that improving economic ties and opening dialogue with China is the best way to maintain peace. Even so, he rejected the idea of Taiwan independence with a one-country, two-systems model like Hong Kong suggested by the Chinese Communist Party. It is said that his stance has left some voters unsure about his stance on the China issue. Meanwhile, Ko Wen-je, presidential candidate from the Taiwan People's Party TPP, said his party offered a middle way between the DPP and the KMT on the China issue. The vision and plans for approaching Taiwan's relations with China are of concern to presidential candidates from the three parties, showing that the role of Taiwan's relations with China is very important in determining the final results of the 2024 election. If relations with China have a significant influence on Taiwan's elections tomorrow, then presidential candidates from the DPP or KMT will gain a significant electoral advantage. However, in the elections in Taiwan this time, it is not impossible that there will be surprises. The emergence of Ko Wen-je and the TPP has brought a new color to Taiwan's political arena. Its presence challenges the traditional dominance of the two parties, DPP and KMT, and offers something new for those who want change. Ko Wen-je and his party also represent a wave of anti-establishment sentiment and underscore the growing desire for a more inclusive and responsive political system in Taiwan. Whatever the outcome, the Taiwanese people certainly hope that this election will produce a leader who can take the country in a better, safer, more peaceful and prosperous direction. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with January 12, 1990. National Occupational Safety and Health Hazard in Indonesia established. Every January 12th, Indonesia commemorates National Occupational Safety and Health Day. This day is based on Law No. 1 of 1970 concerning work safety, which was passed on January 12th that year in 1990. This date was designated as National Work Safety and Health Day based on decision from the Minister of Manpower, Cosmas Batubara, at that time. The establishment of Occupational Safety and Health Day is an effort to promote and cultivate occupational safety and health for all levels of society to reduce work accidents to a minimum. Currently, National Occupational Safety and Health Day is usually commemorated throughout the month until February 12th. Moving on to January 12th, 2004, the RMS Queen Mary II sails for the first time. The RMS Queen Mary II is a British Ocean liner which regularly serves the route from Southampton, England to New York, United States. The length of the RMS Queen Mary II is around 345 meters and weighs almost 150 gross tons, making it the longest and largest passenger ships in the world when it was built in the nearly 2000s. Queen Mary II made its maiden voyage on January 12, 2004, from Southampton to Fort Lauderdale, United States. This ship replaces the RMS Queen Elizabeth II, an ocean liner which now functions as a floating hotel in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. Thus, this ship is the only ocean ship in the world that is still operating today. We'll end today in history with January 12, 2010. An earthquake rocks Haiti. An earthquake with a magnitude of 7 rocked Haiti on January 12, 2010, at around 5 p.m. local time. The epicenter of the earthquake was located 25 kilometers west of Port-au-Prince, the capital of the country, on the Caribbean island. The earthquake was followed by around 50 aftershocks. The Haitian government estimated that around 316,000 people died as a result of the earthquake, while 250 homes and 3,000 commercial buildings were seriously damaged or collapsed. The National Palace of Haiti, the official residence of the President of Haiti in Port-au-Prince, was so badly damaged that it had to be demolished in 2012. The January 12, 2010 earthquake also caused landslides in the mountains areas of Haiti. And that's today in history.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Indonesian local creative products at Hajj Expo in Saudi Arabia. Indonesian Tourism and Creative Economy Minister Sandiaga Uno visited the Indonesian Creative Economy Products Exhibition in the Hajj and Umrah Services Conference and Exhibition 2024 in Saudi Arabia. When visiting the exhibition on Tuesday, Minister Sandiaga said the Indonesian government was officially invited by the Saudi Arabian Ministry of Hajj and Umrah to actively participate in information exchange on tourism and creative economy product information during the event, along with 19 Indonesian creative economy sector entrepreneurs. Minister Uno wished the three-day exhibition in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, from January 9th until 11th, 2024, would encourage the revival of the tourism and creative economy ecosystem, particularly the Muslim-friendly tourism. Last year, the Hajj and Umrah Services Conference and Exhibition 2023 was visited by 105,000 people, 80 ministers, and state high official delegates. Besides, the event was also joined by 360 participants and created more than 200 memorandum of understanding. This year, the exhibition was expected to raise exposure for Indonesian tourism and the creative economy. Moreover, Muslim-friendly tourism potential is quite great, even its investment value was around 3 to 4 billion US dollar. Minister Sandiaga Uno also said that the ministry is committed to facilitating the Indonesian creative economy tourism industry and wish the momentum could be an effective platform to market the products, build cooperation between nations, and explore the particular type of Muslim-friendly tourism and creative economy ecosystem that can improve Indonesia's trade balance. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
These are the better days. If not today, must be tomorrow. If not today, must be. These are the better days. If not today, must be tomorrow. If not today, must be.
Peace. attention, not living up to expectation. No expectation. Toast for everything that's grown. It has been beautiful. The best things in life won't fade away. The best things in life I've felt.
These are the better days. If not today, must be tomorrow. If not today, must be. These are the better days. If not today, must be tomorrow. If not today, must be.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. On 10th December 2023, the world's largest travel magazine, Lonely Planet, released a list of the 11 best beaches in Indonesia. Mark Johansson, a senior journalist from the United States, ranked 3 beaches in West Nusa Tenggara province as the best in Indonesia. One of them is Jalenga Beach in Jereweh District, West Sumbawa Regency. According to Mark Johansson, he ranks Jalenga Beach as one of the best beaches because its waves are world-class. The beach, which is only 40 kilometers from Poto Tano Harbor, has the best left-hand break and it is very suitable for professional surfers and advanced amateurs. Jelenga Beach is surrounded by a beautiful hilly landscape. The hill is full of green grass and low trees. On the north side, Jelenga Beach offers a stretch of white sand beach with calm turquoise water. It is also suitable for swimming, kayaking, and stand-up paddle boarding. This beach is also suitable for those of you who like surfing. Jelenga Beach is a beach target by surfers because it has challenging waves. The waves on this beach come from the middle of the ocean. These challenging waves are formed because West Sumbawa is surrounded by the Flores Sea to the north, the Indian Ocean to the south, and the Alas Strait. Many people call Jelenga Beach a scar reef because the waves are shaped like large tubes and are several meters high. Listener, when afternoon comes, please don't go home yet. Enjoy the beauty of the sunset on this beach. The gradation of sky colors mixed with the clear blue sea water adds to the beauty of this beach. Jelenga Beach facilities are quite complete. At the location, there are also parking area, food stalls, toilets, surf equipment rental, and accommodation. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
In today's Miscellany, Kalodo, chocolate from Masamba. Indonesia is well known for its nature, but it's also a home for mouth-watering cuisine. This includes top quality chocolate products. A must-try one is Kalodo chocolate from Masamba. Masamba is a city in South Sulawesi, and Kalodo chocolate has gone international. Kalodo chocolate always uses top quality local ingredients only. The cocoa was picked carefully from local plantations, which creates a sustainable supply chain and support local farmers. This special touch make nothing that could match Kalodo chocolate. The local government of North Luwu Regency encourage further development of Kalodo or cacao production from Masamba, so they can get a larger global market. Kalodo chocolate is produced by Simbali Rezo Joint Venture in Masamba. Chairman of Simbali Rezo Joint Venture, Bahruddin Iskandar, said all ingredients came from the farmers' groups in North Luwu. In a month, some 3 tons of cacao are processed by 20 people. Bahruddin hoped their Kalodo chocolate could get into airports. And that was Miscellany.
사랑한 하트
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Rote and Dau Regency is Nusa Tenggara, entitled Mali Vali E, meaning Let's Go Home. The song, which was written by M.A. Ndoloe have simple lyric and tunes, so they are easy to memorize and sing. Mali Falie tells the story of a child who leaves the house to play until dusk. His brother came to pick him up, telling him that his mother asked him to go home immediately so he wouldn't get late. Here is Aurelia Ruth Sumanti with the song. Mai Falie from Rote Endao is Nusa Tenggara. Enjoy listening to the song.
Voice of Indonesia.
Tempat berteduh.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.